What is up, wrestling fans? It's time for another pay-per-view point edition of the Smart Got Moment Smack Talk podcast, a special edition for so many different ways. It's a hell of a day. It's practically getting into the next day. We don't know what's going on. There, cats and dogs are reigning, sometimes at WrestleMania, sometimes not. I am your host, as always, Tony Mango. I'm joined by Cowboy Callum Wiggins.
Howdy, partners.
Oh, man, this is a day. I had a hell of a day before WrestleMania got started. I'm not going to get into it because, you know, who really cares? But WrestleMania alone, if I woke up a minute before WrestleMania was supposed to start and we just followed this ride, nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, it's been a pretty crazy couple of hours. I feel like we could have been doing this like 2 hours from now rather than what we end up being because of just how insane that start was.
I was thinking that we might be doing it tomorrow for a portion of this. Oh, man, I'm all over the place here. I want to remind everybody that if you're listening to this afterward, drop a comment in the comment section below. We wanted to know what you have to say about all these other kind of things. But if you're in the live chat with us, I see a whole bunch of people in the live chat right now. This is awesome. Thank you for joining us live. Chat it up. We're not going to be able to read everything throughout this whole thing, especially because I've got 19 screens going on right now. I've got I'm on a delay on my part with the other thing. You know, it is what it is. But hey, we're rolling with the punches, kind of like what they were doing earlier. We're not going to have a 45-minute delay. We're getting really into this.
I was hoping just to kick back for a little while.
Okay, maybe do some some extra kickoff interview type things.
Yeah, that's when you just stop for a second, we'll bring in Pete Rosenberg, and then we'll be right back with you. No, we wouldn't punish you guys like that.
No, not at all. I'm going to read a couple things in the chat right now just to catch up with a little thing. Ben says, y'all, please be nice. I haven't cried that hard since Hell in a Cell. Michael Network, I didn't care for the main event besides the only good match on this card was Lashley versus McIntyre. Okay. Marcos, for having practically no build, this is probably my favorite women's match ever. Peter says, rain, go away. Come again another day. Ted says, disappointed for Drew. We will talk positives and negatives. It wasn't all perfect, but it also, there's pros and cons for this.
Yeah.
Frank Aqua says, okay, I really thought Drew was going to win, so we have a new NXT and SmackDown Women's Tag Team Champion, or Women's Champion. I'm not going to add the tag team title on that, Andre. Let's see if we have a new Raw Champion tomorrow night, yeah. Rio's for sure winning, Ben thinks. Peter says, I know it about probably the delay, because people are going on about the delay thing. Caitlin's asking, where's my cowboy hat? I don't have a cowboy hat. I had a Superman hat back there. I'll put that on, but I would mess up my hair, and I'm having a good hair day. So, by the way,
are you?
Just for the sake of it, wearing this for good luck, you know, some good old WrestleMania stuff. So tomorrow, maybe I'll rock a Smart Out Moment thing or something. I don't know. Guest 5 says, just woke up. By the way, what day is it? It's March. That's what it is. I'm going to try to keep on with this chat while I'm going. Actually, I'm going to pop out the chat so that way I've got a little bit better options on my screen because I want to do this first. If I can switch over to another thing here, screen share with my screen. And we're going to not show you just that stuff because you don't need to see that necessarily, but we're going to see this. Obviously, we had the live chat going on, but I want to remind everybody about these giveaways that we've got going on and the Smart Madness tournament right now. If you click on these, just like I'm doing, they will open up in different tabs. And you can vote between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, what is the best pay-per-view name of all time? You can win an Edge Funko Pop as part of a sponsored giveaway from fun.com. And you can win one through an NWO t-shirt through the TV store online. What giveaway that we're doing over on Fanboys Anonymous. We got the Baron Zemo Funko Pop that you can win. So go ahead and put in all your entries for all these things. Make sure that you're following and liking and subscribing to all the different things that we've got going on here and, you know, kind of click around and do the usual stuff. Don't want to get bogged down too much in that. I want to pass this back over to us because, hey, you guys are paying attention to us and I've got too many things on my screen again. Where am I losing this? All over the place. We're going to move this over. We're going to move that over. Callum, what are you thinking, man? What time is it over there?
It's closing in on 5. although I cannot see it because I'm not wearing my glasses because that would look bad on camera.
And what are you guys thinking about Cowboy Callum Wiggins here? What's the, is he the rootinest, tootinest co-host? Is he,
I mean, I'm putting a lot of effort into the accent as well. I don't know if you can tell.
I can't.
It's because I'm not. That's... See, yeah. the thing about the gimmick is that it doesn't work if I try and actually be a cowboy. The only reason it does work in my mind is that I'm not a cowboy.
So we're now we're getting into Seinfeld stuff of I don't want to be a cowboy.
This was the stupidest gimmick ever put together in this long list of like Trotuck Pig and all this other stuff. This is about as stupid as it gets. One day we'll tell the origin story of Cowboy Callum Wiggins and everyone will be hugely disappointed.
I don't know if wearing a cowboy hat measures up to Tow Truck Pig. That's kind of on paper. I'm pretty sure people would vote Tow Truck Pig sounds worse. Ted in the chat says this guy's an imposter. No way that's Callum. He's mouthing as Callum talks off camera. It's just like a puppeteer kind of thing.
Do they not believe it's me? Like, is there something about the way that I look? Doesn't scream.
Is this the first time you guys are seeing Callum?
I mean, I have my photo on like my Twitter and stuff like that at Wigmeister14. By the way, follow, like all that other stuff.
Should be up on the chat chat. Yeah, the chat.
I mean,
that is the chat.
I mean, I'm not rocking the beard this time. I've shaved that off.
But, yeah, the beard. RIP the beard. Which was how long did it end up going? Did it go past the bandana or?
It went pretty far. I mean, I wouldn't say it would go too far past the bandana, but I mean, it had the moustache going on and everything. So just now I've got the, I mean, you can't tell because both the lighting is terrible and the fact that I've got blonde look, but I've got the, I'm rocking the Baron Corbin style now.
Yeah.
The very thin beard across the bottom of my face.
I'm rocking the, I haven't slept in a while and I just didn't have time to shave kind of look. Let us know what you think about all this stuff. By the way, keep your eyes peeled for a potential Cowboy Callum Wiggins shirt. I've got Callum in mind for something that Caroline's working on. So,
oh god, oh, actually, I feel good about that now because Caroline's a good artist. So I'm fine having my fate in her hands.
Yeah, I mean, if I was drawing it, you'd end up being this like disproportionate stick figure where you'd be like, "Well, what happened to my torso?" kind of thing.
I don't really have much of a torso to miss anyway. So.
A couple other things in the chat here before we get in. I'm going to read by a couple things here and there. Cloud says, Cowboy Callum Wiggins is the best gimmick on this podcast. Ben's asking, was the Braun match good? I spent 95% of it getting pizza. You got Domino's, though, and I'm more of a Pizza Hut guy, so I don't know. At least you didn't get Papa John's. I'll tell you that.
He's UK-bound, isn't he? So maybe your Domino's is better than your...
Might be. I don't know. Yeah. Domino's isn't bad. I'm just more of a Pizza Hut guy. Now I want pizza, even though I had some pretty decent dinner. I actually got a chance to eat dinner because of the rain delay. I was actually kind of happy about that. I'm like, oh man, I get to eat instead of having to do the coverage for this like immediately.
It's God's way of rewarding you for the week that you've had.
Maybe, yeah. I got to eat some mashed potatoes that were pretty good and everything. So this isn't snack talk. We're not going to get too far deep into that.
Also, it's not hard to be the best gimmick on this podcast as well. It's basically me and Mark DeFelice.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think I really have a gimmick at this point, except for every once in a while people bring up the idea that, like, I don't have a pulse or, you know, something where robotic. I don't know. Maybe we'll make a whole thing here. The pink shirt might pop up tomorrow.
Okay, that's good. I was saving it for night two. That's a night two.
Yeah, you can't blow it on the first day, right?
Yeah, I'll put on one of my other cowboy hats. So
one of the other ones.
I've got three of them hanging around there. So.
This is some kind of Westworld thing. Your black hat one day, white hat one day. It's all going to turn into some kind of weird metaphysical thing.
I mean, I'll only wear the black hat when I turn heel.
Ben in the chat says, the GTS is definitely Tony's finisher. Go to sleep. I wish. I'm actually wired as all hell right now. I don't know if you can tell. Just it's midnight to me, and it feels like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago or so. But let's start getting into this. Let's get into, can we call it the kickoff? Yeah, we can call it the kickoff. It's not really the thing that kicked it off, but it kind of is. It is what it is. We had a brand new intro for WWE. I like it.
Yeah, I like the little mashup of people's entrance themes that they use behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's now Then Now Together Forever instead of just Then Now Forever.
Yeah, I thought that was a cool way to open it up. And the second note that I have was, oh, let's hope that the weather doesn't get in the way.
Yeah.
See what happened when I jinxed that.
So this is going to be interesting because we're going to be discussing this probably very likely tomorrow because I saw so much stuff going around about how today was a 50% chance of a rain delay and how tomorrow it's a 90% chance of rain happening. So
I've heard in some of the different ones, 100%.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be... and then maybe they'll figure out some way of dealing with it next time. Maybe they'll just put like a tarp over the ring or just a tarp over the top of it.
Maybe they'll just tarp off like the entire top of it. Like they'll just get like some giant thing to cover the whole thing. They don't have a roof, but they'll just have some dude hanging on like each end, you know?
I mean, I don't think people really talk about the real victims of the rain delay that started. The cardboard cutouts.
I want to see what's going on with cardboard cutouts. I was hoping we'd get a shot where we could see what they actually have, but there wasn't any that I saw. Then again, I can't rewind it because you know, Peacock. We're going to complain a little bit about Peacock, too. I'm going to get a little bit in
there. I was on the network, so I'm pretty good.
Yeah, you're pretty good. You can see what happens and not have to go, I missed it, like I did with a couple things here and there. But I want to see the cardboard cutouts. I want to see if they used celebrities or if they did just generic, you know, maybe they have like the same five people like in the WWE games.
Yeah.
Where there's just like the one guy that's like kind of thing.
Are we speaking about that a little bit later as well?
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. The game stuff, not that guy. It's a different story with that guy. We will talk about a super fan though in a minute. The cutouts looked like generic Google images, not actual fans. They might be. Maybe they Googled fan. And they ended up just getting a couple of those people. And there's like some people with like a fan, like, you know, what I've got back there. Just kind of fan faces. By the way, shout out if you can see it. I don't know. Where am I on here? There we go. We're going to go right up here. James Bond podcast. A Review to a Kill. That's the box set. So check that out on Fanboys Anonymous.
Is that your biggest fan, Tony?
What's that?
Is that your biggest fan?
What, that one right there?
Yeah.
Technically, it is.
Tony's biggest fan. Like an appearance on the podcast.
Yeah. Right beside me all the time, you know, through thick and thin. They should have used old wrestlers for the crowd. See, that's something that could be really cool. If we find out that they've had, like, you know, Sergeant Slaughter and, you know, Bruno Sammartino and stuff, that would be really cool. Yeah. I want a whole special about that now. We could talk about that. But, the cardboard cutouts might have gotten all soaked up and maybe they will hold up for tomorrow, maybe they won't, you know.
We'll see. I mean, I'm hope they would have spares, but they wouldn't just do one day's worth.
I mean, if they knew ahead of time what the rain was going to be like, they probably have some spares, but I also think that they probably didn't print twice as many just in case. So it might be the type of thing where the ones that are on like the lower ends, they might have to shift the ones that aren't messed up, because then it might be like hanging down, kind of, you know, that sort of thing. Carl says, don't want to be sitting behind Andre. That's cool. I like that. It's a good little thing. Alejandro asks, who is hotter, Mandy Rose or Naomi? We'll talk about that on the Sexy Superstars tournament. Check that out in, 3 months or so? I don't know, June or July. We'll get around to it.
I mean, we're not talking about it.
We will talk about something else about Mandy.
Oh, we're going to talk about a lot about that match. No, you are.
Ben says, can we tarp off Randy Orton versus The Fiend? Dane says, nice beard.
He's talking about you or me?
Yeah, Dane, who are you talking about here? Is it going to depend on if we like Edge better than Christian? Or? Yeah, let's get into some of the stuff. Pre-show panelists, I wrote down looking spiffy. I was starting to get the feeling of WrestleMania at the beginning of this. How were you feeling about like the overall feel of Mania?
I mean, you kind of know that it's a big Mania event when everyone's wearing a tux or something surrounding that. So they kind of go the extra effort when it's a big pay-per-view like this. So it did feel a lot like WrestleMania, but it also felt like a kickoff show. And as such, I had it on mute a lot of the time.
You didn't miss as much on the audio side of things. There were a couple of moments here and there that were kind of funny. Nothing that really stood out to me, though. Booker T at the very, very end, right when they were like, all right, everybody, we're going to start WrestleMania. He's like, check me out on this thing. I'm going to plug a couple of things or whatever, which I thought was kind of funny. But Christian versus Over Then Edge, Now Then Forever. The long build for the Sexiest Superstars Tournament. Yeah, we're going to maybe put that on a delay, too.
Yeah.
No pirate ship thing tonight. Maybe they're saving it for tomorrow. We had, let's see here. We had a great note from, or joke from Jerry Lawler that I liked a lot. He said that the king's favorite weather is hail. All hail the king. Come on, you know I'm going to like it. It's a stupid dad joke.
What you classify as a great joke.
Right. It's great. I laughed, you know. I don't care. It's good. I also have a note here. They had said, I think it was Kayla had said this, the steel cage match isn't a stipulation that we've seen many times at WrestleMania. And it took me a second to go, I don't know how many times we've seen it. I know we've seen Bundy, and I know that we've seen a couple other ones here and there. So I looked on cage match, and I didn't specify it to WrestleMania, but I just looked in general, just steel cage for WWE's history from the 60s onward. According to them, when you count house shows, there's been 839 steel cage matches.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez.
I mean, it's a match that's used quite a lot, but I guess the argument that it's rarely seen at WrestleMania kind of holds out, because I can literally only name Bundy and Hogan and this match.
And we've had, like, Hell in a Cell, which isn't a steel cage match. That doesn't really count.
Yeah.
And we've gotten, what, two Hell in a Cell matches? No, three Hell in a Cell matches, I think.
Was it Taker, Triple H?
Shane.
Shane and Taker, Boss Man and Taker.
Right.
Maybe I another think that's
one. It. I think there might not be, though. Yeah, so, I mean, we've gotten a couple different steel cage variants, but, yeah, it's still something that is, yeah, we haven't seen it at Mania, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, too. Another thing I want to talk about, though, before we get into one of the biggest things to talk about for this, is something that Rob brought to my attention. They're doing a network special and recognizing Vladimir as the first official superfan, which I think is fantastic. I love that idea.
So, I mean, I appreciate the idea of like having superfans together. I'm not super familiar with Vladimir.
Really? Well, he is from an era that is further back. So
what did he do to become a super fan?
He, you know how like Sign Guy became a thing?
Yeah.
And lately there's been, I'm blanking on his name now. It's either Sam or, no, it's Simon is the long hair guy that we've referred
to
as.
Always in the front row.
Tall Lisa is what we've referred to as for a while. And then there's the smiley guy with the green shirt. Those people that just keep popping up here and there, pretty much the first one of those was Vladimir. And this dude was on like every WrestleMania. He used to wear a tank top a lot. So he was easy to kind of spot. It's just like, oh, the tank top guy's there again. And he was really animated. He was always one of those guys that's like, when they would go down the ramp, he was one of the ones that they would like, you know, slap the hand of and everything. And they showed a little bit of footage of it. I don't know if this was something that you had seen, but with this network special, they're showing like the boys were kind of like, oh, there's the guy, there's the Vladimir guy. And like, so they even kind of recognized him and whatever. And they're doing a whole documentary on it, which I think is just awesome. And I want to see more of that kind of stuff. I don't know when it's coming out. I think it said summer. So damn sure checking that out. I think that's fantastic.
Good for that guy.
Surely Reginald must be a top super fan after all his appearances. where's the Putin thing coming in here?
Vladimir Putin.
Vladimir Putin. Right over my head. I had written down here, all right, let's go. And then, oh, rain delay.
I'm like, well, even before that, we had Vince on the stage.
Yeah, that's right. This was before the rain delay. Yeah.
So he came out, and so I both really liked this and also really hated it, because there is still part of me that likes to cling to a little bit of kayfabe. And so when I see Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks standing like within 6 feet of each other on the ramp at the start of the show, I'm like, okay, I mean, I'm okay if you want to put all the people on the stage to kind of celebrate the fact that you're back, but could you arrange it a little better? So like you're keeping the people that are meant to be feuding with each other separate because they're supposed to hate each other at this point. And I thought it may have actually just been better if it was just Vince, Triple H, Stephanie, and Shane. But if you needed all the people in there.
I get having the moment with all the people because it kind of, you said it breaks kayfabe a little bit, but in a way,
I mean, it's kind of like pieces, so that's fine.
Like showing, for instance, Rhea Ripley crying for that, I was like, aw. Yeah.
Well, that was weird as well because like she was crying while the American national anthem was going on. I'm like, you're not even from here. Like, girl, you ain't from here.
I will say I wasn't a fan of America the Beautiful.
You didn't like Bebe Rexha's or Reha or however Rob pronounced it, right?
Rob knows who she is. I'm out of pop culture.
Who she is, but is it that she was like a country star? Like everything that I've seen her do is not country. So I don't know. Don't know how to describe her.
I haven't seen anything from her, so this was my first taste of Babe Rexha or BB. It's BB Reha, BB Rexha. Literally, the first time that I saw that was a thing, I was like, "Is this Mandy Rose?" Not on WrestleMania, but
she does look a lot like Mandy Rose.
Like she could be like her sister or something, I think. But I didn't really like it. It's not my favorite America the Beautiful performance that we've ever gotten. I couldn't tell you now offhand what my favorite one would be, but I'm sure it would have been something from years and years and years ago. Maybe like my WrestleMania,
Aretha
like
Franklin.
Maybe like Aretha Franklin. Yeah, I kind of remember thinking one way or another about the oh my god, I'm blanking on the same Little Richard one. I don't remember if that's one way in the positive or one way in the negative. So we'll see. I'll have to go back and check that out, and that'll be a top rope list down the line or something. She's on that Meant to Be song with Florida Georgia Line.
Okay. Oh, I mean, I know who they are because I think they've been on a WWE show before. I can't name you any of their songs or anything like that because I don't say I'm not a fan of country because I basically all listen to a good version of any song. So it's like,
you mean you're not a fan of country? Look at what you're wearing.
Oh yeah, of course.
That's blasphemous if you're Cowboy Calvin Wiggins. You got to be somewhere on the beach or whatever that song is. Is that song? Is that the Meant to Be song? Probably not.
You're asking me, like, just like offhand. No, but again, it's the gimmick is that I'm a fan of classical music. See, that's
John Legend and Ray Charles being brought up in the chat. Yeah, Ray Charles one's a good one. I do remember that one being really good. Dane brings up the WrestleMania set too. What'd you think about the first real look at the WrestleMania set?
Oh, it looks good.
Yeah.
I do like the ship and all of the paraphernalia surrounding it. It's they clearly went to a lot of effort for it. Like, I assume it would have looked this good last year as well, but then they had an extra year to like, okay, so how can we, and that can lead to one or two ways. It's either you do too much and ruin it, or you add a bit more to it and it makes it even more spectacular. I think they accomplished the latter of those two.
After we did the WrestleMania intro with Vince, we did the America the Beautiful, and we switched over to the actual, like, welcome everybody, it's WrestleMania type of video package. It's a callback to last year, and they pretty much do the whole, let's get the guy who pretends that he's Johnny Depp and do a voiceover type of thing.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? I was kind of, it started off okay, got a little worse. Then by the end of it, I was forgetting that it was even still happening because I was not paying as much attention to it.
Well, I was hoping they come up with something more original because that's the exact same one we saw last year.
A lot of it is pretty much the same. Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that was slightly would have changed is some of the talking because of the matches are obviously different, but the visuals were pretty much exactly the same.
Right.
And Charlotte was in it constantly, and she's probably not going to be on the show in any capacity.
Ben's disappointed that Bayley didn't walk the plank. Marcus says the ship was cool. Julius says, who won? We're going to talk about that. We're actually going to get into that pretty soon because I honestly don't have too much to say about the weather delay. I'm going to fully cut them slack on this kind of thing because, look, I mean, it's not something that you can harp on about like bad booking or, well, this match sucked or whatever. they don't have any control over the weather as much as somebody like Vince, I'm sure, is just kind of like, damn it, don't, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I'm not going to rag on them for that.
I mean, he brought this on himself when he fought God all those years ago.
It's kind of payback, isn't it?
Yeah, God's getting his heat back. But no, I mean, it's one of those things that happens. If you're going to do open air stadiums, especially in Florida in April, you're basically risking this type of thing happening. And I mean, the arsehole part of me found this absolutely hilarious.
Yeah.
For about like half an hour to 45 minutes of just having to stall and then having to cut promos backstage in order to cover for that. And I thought for the most part, they did a good job, the wrestlers, that with a few notable exceptions, Shane.
Yeah, I mean, for doing this on the fly and not having anything at all scripted, because I doubt that they would have pre-scripted, just in case we have some kind of a delay, these are the promos you guys got to cut. A good variety of them. They did a good job just kind of talking out of their ass. And for instance, the Drew and Bobby Lashley thing, I liked that Drew, you could tell he was kind of just like, I'm antsy, I want to go out and do this, and I'm getting upset. Because that, you know, it's true to character. And, you know, some of the ones that weren't doing as well, they weren't out there too long. Shane wasn't out there for 20 minutes.
I think this was a good indication of, well, first of all, there are people in this company that can cut unscripted promos and cut them really well. And maybe they should pay attention to that a little bit more. And then focus on the ones that do need scripting more.
Yeah.
And realistically, also, the Shane McMahon, whether you script him or you don't script him, is going to be bad. So don't give him a microphone in any capacity whatsoever. Also, it just exposed how bad Sarah Schreiber is in her role. And I don't want to put it as like a huge negative on her. It's just the way they train these people is clearly means that as soon as they have to improvise, they are just like a deer in the headlights.
I didn't catch any of it. I really didn't pay too much attention to what Sarah was doing, but she was like real wooden, or?
I thought she was really wooden. She was asking dumb questions as usual. She was like doing the cutaway to the booze and stuff like that. She was trying to like interrupt when the guys were doing their own pros, because obviously she's trying to improvise as well, but they're trying to cut. Like, there was one point where Drew was started talking and Drew was about to cut a promo and she took the mic away to like start talking, and Drew said, oh, hang on a minute, no, give it back. And it was a bit awkward surrounding her. I think the reason why Kevin's ones were a bit less awkward is because he hasn't been there as long, so he hasn't been able to learn the bad habits that WWE interviewers get.
Well, he was the one that Kevin Owens had just taken the mic away from too, right?
Oh yeah, Kevin knows what he's doing. He knows that, okay, I don't need you in the shot right now, I can handle it. And he had a bit of fun playing around with the New Day. And then I don't know whether Seth Rollins like actually forgot his name or was just doing a bit, but he did just call him Mike, and he said Kevin, and he said, oh, Mike. And he's just like thinking, oh yeah, you're trying to beat Chris Jericho from all those years ago. Mm. You're not that good.
In the chat, Ted says it's awesome to see how the wrestlers were so excited and emotional to finally get in front of people. Ben says she seemed very flustered, Sarah. And Marco says, I feel like they're not allowed to improvise. I bet there's an interviewer dictionary for what and what not to say. We know that there's a list of what not to say in WWE, that's for sure. So there's probably dictionaries for that kind of stuff too. So, it's a little bit weird that for the first time ever, if you really think about it, it's like it couldn't have happened any other way, right? We get a pandemic, we wait an entire year, because the pandemic, of course, had to kick in right at WrestleMania last year. It didn't end up like, if it would have been a couple more weeks last year, think about it, they would have done WrestleMania, and then things would have been like, oh, okay, well, at least we got through WrestleMania, then, whew, we dodged a bullet there. But it ended up being right before Mania. So then you wait an entire year, you finally have fans. It's the most important night, night one even on top of that. So it's not even like you got through night one, and night two is a little bit weird. And then for the first time in, you know, 37 years, we get a rain delay. It's like, you can't plan this stuff, you know? I don't know what the weather was like yesterday, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to find out that it was like bright and sunny and perfectly fine yesterday. And watch it do that on Monday too, you know. It'll rain like today and tomorrow, and then Monday it'll be just bright and, you know, perfect weather.
Yeah, it's just, and they got drawn a bad hand tonight, but it does lead to some, I guess, it's going to be memorable for that reason.
People are going to be looking at this WrestleMania and going like, why is everybody wearing masks? And what's up with the delay? And it's raining and whatever. I'll go back to the last one. What happened at the last one? Oh, it's in front of a warehouse. Like, oh, this is weird. What a weird time. This is a weird couple of years. I don't know what's happening with this world. But we finally, after 45 minutes, got to a point where Drew McIntyre could come out. The bell rang at 8:45 is what Mai did.
Well, he wasn't the first person to get an entrance onto
I'm skipping over that.
O'Neil got his music played first out of everybody, followed by Hulk Hogan, who could ramble on for about 5 minutes. And Hogan was getting booed.
The whole thing was awkward. None of what they had to say made any sense. It was like, well, what you going to do when the Hulkamaniacs... Hold on, just a second. What about, DraftKings or something?
I thought Titus did a good job. I thought Titus was very animated. He was very passionate to be there. Hogan was just Hogan. And it just isn't the same with Hogan anymore. I would have preferred it if Titus was just out there on his own introducing it. And it wouldn't have been nearly as long as it was.
No, Titus, I thought, did a good enough job. Where if he would have just been by himself, he would have cut that shorter. It would have been fine. The Hogan element of it threw everything off. And for that matter, every part that we saw Hogan tonight wasn't really one of my highlights.
No, well, it clearly wasn't for the fans either. Or at least a lot of the fans.
Yeah, I mean, he got booed. We were kind of expecting that.
Yeah.
But we did get, eventually, Drew McIntyre comes out, Bobby Lashley comes out, and they had a pretty damn good match.
Yeah, I can't have too many complaints. I mean, the one thing that I would say at the start of it is that after a 45-minute rain delay, and obviously the crowd is antsy to get into action, starting with the headlock and going into a more traditional... It struck me as a main event match. Like, this is a match where you have the build-up, you have the nice little bit of warming up to lead into the big spot to make them mean a little bit more, whereas I felt like it would have been more impactful at this point to just go straight into the action.
Just kind of like balls to the wall right out of the gate kind of thing.
Yeah, because I think this crowd needed that after the delay. I think if you'd started the night just on time as expected with this match, it would have been more understandable. But the fact that it did have the delay, you could have just decided, okay, we're going to mix up a little bit. We're just going to go straight in punching each other constantly just to fire up a little bit and then move into our match. Other than that, it was a great match. I thought they worked really well together. It was very physical. Bobby Lashley showed a lot of strength throughout it. McIntyre was very good as well. There were a few botched spots throughout the entire thing, but they were more minuscule, really. Nothing that really took away from the actual flow of the match.
Yeah, I can't really pinpoint a whole lot of specifics about the match in the sense of like, well, there was this one match, one spot that was really good, and that match followed this type of pattern, and I would have liked if they would have switched this up or whatever. I kind of, and I don't know if I'm being a little bit, being a little light on it, but I was pretty much just like so happy to start doing this that I was like, all right, as long as they don't botch anything and something weird doesn't happen, I'm enjoying this. And at the end of the day, or at the end of the match, I should say, because it's not the end of the day, we end up getting something that I didn't think was going to happen, which is that Bobby Lashley retains. So you were calling up this idea that Bobby Lashley needed to win this, and I just gave them no credit. I'm like, oh, they're not going to do that. But they did.
It's a weird... I think long-term this was the right decision, having Lashley retain the championship. I think he's got a lot more that he can do with that title. In the moment, it felt wrong because it was the opener of the show. The crowd was behind Drew. So I was actually a little bit surprised that the crowd was actually really behind Drew. It kind of shows what the reaction would have been like if he had been champion for all that time, especially if he'd beaten Brock Lesnar, how over he would have gotten. And then they have Lashley pass him out to the Hurt Lock. And I just felt that was... In the moment, it just felt bizarre that this is what you decided to do. You have the opener of the show and have your babyface over former champion just pass out to this guy, and it makes Bobby look amazing. Don't get me wrong, it makes Bobby look great, but it just feels it left the crowd a bit flat and confused.
Yeah, I mean, if they could have started off with any of the other matches, I think that it would have been a little bit weird because starting off with something that's as big as the WWE title match makes the most sense. But it is a little bit strange that McIntyre didn't win that. And in the good kind of glass half full perspective, we can hope that this is for the right reason, where they do have plans for Bobby Lashley. They do want to push him going forward. And on the glass half empty side of things, it'll be one of those things where it goes, well, it's good enough, and maybe the title will change at Money in the Bank. And then that'll be like, well, you could have just done it at WrestleMania. You can't keep stretching things, and you can't just, you know, take something that's, you know, cut a quarter out of it. You ever see, like, when people take, like, a pizza and they do this weird thing where they cut out a slice and then they rearrange it to make it look like it's a pizza again when there's a whole slice that's missing? I know you're not pizza guy, but...
I mean, I'm not a pizza guy, but I can imagine people doing that, and that would be freaky, so...
Yeah, it's you can't do that with the way that you book some of these things. So I hope this is for the reason of, let's give Lashley a decent reign, rather than... Let's not blow it all in one shot. We can have the title change happen at another time, and then people will feel like they've got two things out of this, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I know Rob's been hot on the train of calling things when they happen and wanting to get his flowers out of it as well. I'm not so, like, necessarily need to have that sort of acclamation from people about when I get things right. But I would like to make a prediction now that we will have Bobby Lashley defending the WWE Championship against Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam.
We can hope, because that is the money match that they can do at this point.
Yeah.
And if it's not at SummerSlam, if they do it at another pay-per-view, then that's another thing, but they got to do it at some point.
I think SummerSlam is the most appropriate time to do it. You can't stretch it out a year, I don't think. And, but I don't know. I would be interested in that mainly just due to the fact that I don't know who would win, because there's pros of giving it to Bobby Lashley. There's also pros of putting it back on Brock Lesnar if Brock Lesnar's going to do one of his reigns, especially if they're in the Thunderdome still, because if there's no crowds, there's not really a huge issue of having a champion that can't turn up.
Well, outside of the fact that if you're trying to watch the TV show, you want to show him every week, but you could have him record 5 segments in a row.
And yeah, then, you could, yeah.
You know, maybe get around that. I will put my stamp on it right now that if they do that, I'm going to root for Bobby Lashley.
So. I'm sure most people would, yeah. Yeah. But... I still want to see that match. And if it's for the title, then that'll be a good step forward.
Carl asks, happy about Lashley, but why oh why break up the Hurt Business?
That's stupid. That's again, it's just one of those things that they decided to do in the build-up to WrestleMania, which really shouldn't have happened, and now can't really be redeemed. I don't know what their next step would be.
Yeah, because you can't even just fully backtrack it either.
Yeah, they build another Hurt Business, they bring on another tag team to fill that role.
I mean, maybe he starts teaming up with Bray Wyatt and then they become the heel business.
Okay.
It took you a second to go, oh, that shitty joke.
Well, no, I don't even get it. So that's
because he's got Hurt and heel, those two things.
That's so, even dumber than I was hoping for. So.
Yeah. Takes a while to go, oh, that's the shitty joke that Tony's making. Yeah. Guess 5 says, have Lashley hold it until next Mania. Depending. I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
I don't think we need another year-long reign. I mean, I'm fine with people giving extended reigns, but I guess we did go through like a period where it went from McIntyre to The Miz for 2 weeks, and then now it's on Bobby. Bobby should hold it for a little while, but I don't think you necessarily need to have, like, I think people get too hung up about, oh, they need to have the year-long reign until WrestleMania. Well, if everyone did that, it wouldn't be interesting. So
yeah. I mean, it works for something like Macho Man wins it, drops it to Hogan. That kind
of
thing.
If you have a long-term story like already in mind for Lashley to get his journey to WrestleMania, then that's totally fine. But I'm going to assume, knowing what I know of WWE right now, that they don't have that in mind.
Yeah. Grimm says they did a good job protecting the Claymore, and they also put over the Hurt Lock without Drew breaking it. Gives him a chance to build to Drew breaking it and then hitting his finish in the future. Yeah, if they want to do that, yeah.
It was bizarre that he didn't hit the Claymore in that match.
I assume if he would have hit the Claymore, it would have been the end, and that's why. But they could have also done something where he hit the Claymore and he kicked Lashley out of the ring, or they could have done something like that, too. That would have been a way to do it.
I would have actually quite liked it if they'd have started with it.
just right out of the gate, Claymore.
Drew just came out of the gate and hit it, and that would get the crowd really pumped up immediately. You have Bobby Lashley fall to the outside, and then you go to the match from there.
Maybe Lashley goes to talk to MVP, who's on the ropes. Doesn't kiss MVP because they don't have that kind of relationship, but it ends up being like this, you know, kind of little reference to that. That was a great opener in a lot of ways. I'm very curious to see where they go going forward, and I'm happy about it too. So it's not even like, oh, where are they going to go with this? And then it being like a mess. A mess, though, is what followed this twofold, because we had a backstage segment with Bayley and the NWO, which was awful.
Yeah, it was pretty awkward.
Yeah, I don't see the point in it, really. I know Bayley is supposed to just kind of be like an annoying character, but it didn't really come off annoying as much as like that would have been part of the filler that they did when they were on the rain delay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I kind of feel like they were scripted to, because it seemed like at the start of it that Bayley was going to be the annoying character coming in and didn't want to, like, too sweet with her because it was with the NWO and Titus, and so she was just going to be the little person inserting themselves into this conversation, and they were all going to walk away because they didn't like her. And then you see Sean Mortimer just going, I'm actually a big fan of you instead, just going to sweet you anyway. Just like, this is like the Garth scripts that are saying, no, we don't actually want to do this because Bayley's cool, and we want to hang out with Bayley.
I think where they're going with this is something that we were talking a little bit about before, where maybe their game plan, we'll see it tomorrow night, is because she popped up a little bit later on as well. If she can interact more with this kind of stuff tomorrow night and she interrupts the Hall of Fame thing again, and maybe she does something else where she's kind of like backstage and annoying people or whatever, I think she might get a ding dong hello segment tomorrow. And then Becky Lynch interrupts and beats the crap out of her.
I guess I would like to see that, because it gives Becky a good platform to start a new feud and build her way back in. But I think Bayley needs to turn babyface soon. Crowd is really into her.
Well, I mean, once you get cheered, then you turn heel, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the usual way of doing it. But I just feel that maybe that would be a mistake for Becky in a way, because of the fact that the crowd seems to be getting behind Bayley's character now, because she's now got a funny gimmick and she's got this ding dong hello thing, which seems to be getting over. And so I imagine that she'll be turning babyface within the next year.
How weird is it going to be if they have Becky do that and Becky gets booed and it ends up being the reverse of the whole thing that they had done with Charlotte and Becky and all that?
Well, it's a weird situation now, because when Becky comes back, because the thing that got Becky over so huge in the first place is the fact that everyone felt that she was being held down by the fact that people like Charlotte were getting the preferential treatment over her. But then when she comes back and she's a big star, she's no longer got that underdog aspect to her. So I could really see a situation where the crowd start turning on her pretty quickly when she comes back.
A Dolph Ziggler thing.
I don't want that to happen, but I think that's a possibility, because fans, it's a mixture of things, like both absence makes the heart grow fonder, but also when you come back and you're immediately put back in the position you were, they see that as some form of nepotism and they can immediately start turning on that as well.
Yeah, and, you know, there's some fans that are very fickle in the sense that as soon as they get what they want, they immediately don't want it anymore.
And yeah, they're called wrestling fans.
There's, I don't know about the ratio I'd go with, maybe like 60-40 something. Ted says, Becky comes back, that building explodes. I don't think that they turn on her. I mean, we'll see tomorrow night, because I think that this is where they're leading in that. And
I'm not saying like, a certainty. I think when she comes back the first night, people are going to go wild. It's from that point onwards, really, because everyone went wild when Kofi won the title and then they stopped cheering him. It's like, oh, you actually have him as champion now. Oh, okay.
And Ted also asks, when did Razor become a white guy? Razor Ramon.
He looks really old.
He became a white guy many years before Kofi Kingston dropped the Jamaican accent. We'll say that. Somewhere along the way, Akeem happened.
Don't talk about that. Nigerian drum fights, talk about tomorrow.
We're going to see what happens with that. They're at least marketing it now as, oh, it's like no DQ. They're just admitting it. So we'll see if that ends up being a little bit more, or it's just literally a street fight that they're calling that, which if you maybe one of them picks up a shillelagh at one point and it turns into a Belfast brawl. don't know. What do we think happens? Do we think Becky wins the title right away whenever she returns? I'm going to hold off on some of the discussion for that until it happens. Just to kind of keep things rolling along a little bit.
It's hard to fortune tell because I just don't think that you can give... I would say at least she wouldn't win it straight away because of who's... Well, who won the title on the SmackDown side of things later on tonight and who's likely to win the Raw title soon. So it's something that you should build towards, really.
Yeah, I can see a couple scenarios, but I'll hold off on that a little bit for now. Because we got to talk about the next match,
All right.
Tag team turmoil match.
I need to preface this by saying this is top 10 worst matches of WrestleMania of all time for me. I mean, I don't have like a deep understanding of like every single WrestleMania and every single match that's happened on there, but I don't know how. I understand that they were obviously rushed for time, and then the matches of a tag team turmoil are always really short anyway, so they weren't really given much time to tell any sort of stories. But I was grateful for that because just everything they were doing was terrible, and it was completely snake bit from start to finish.
Yeah, I don't think getting more time would have helped them. I think it might have even made it worse because this was just... Look, I know some people are going to be complaining and saying that we're being harsh on the women because whatever. This has nothing to do with the fact that this was a women's match. This was just a bad match. And it wasn't just a bad match from, you know, like the first part of it, like the Billie Kay and Carmella beating... Lana and Naomi, or then it like, oh, well, then it got better, or like half of it was whatever. There were bad elements of this all across the board. We got the opening part of it was Kay and Carmella against Lana and Naomi, and that was maybe 2 minutes long or something. So they really didn't get started, and that was already okay. They're taken out, and the Riot Squad comes out and they beat Billie Kay and Carmella, but you wouldn't know it because Greg Hamilton announces that the Riot Squad has been eliminated and then has to correct it. Actually, the opposite of what happened. And then that turns into Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke coming out. And
Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke that was the botched announcement.
Wait, that was the one that was...
That was the one at the end of it, because the way they finished.
When Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke come out, Mandy Rose, you see her go... Whoop, falls flat on her butt. And that's like, oh man, because it's like, I know that's going to go on Botchamania things now. It's going to be one of those talked about moments. And I feel so bad because that's got to be so embarrassing. And obviously, it's just something that anybody does at certain points. Just, you know, everybody's slipped and fallen on their ass. So I'm not going to be like, you know, oh my God, Mandy Rose did that. She's awful. No, she's not. She slipped. Who cares? But it is just another element of this match where it was like, at this point, we had two of the matches that's built within this. And already then we're turning into, you know, somebody slipping and falling. And apparently there were wardrobe malfunctions during this for Carmella and Dana Brooke. And we got the botched, you know, Riot Squad is eliminated type of thing. And I'll skip to just the end of it for at least for right now. The winners are Natalya and Tamina, the ones that if any team was the one team that everybody could have agreed on that they didn't want to win this, it was those two.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird situation because they were the team that were getting pushed. They had won a lot of matches in the last 6 weeks or so. And they were being protected, and like all these backstage fights between all the tag teams, they were the ones that were always standing tall at the end of it. So from that perspective, it made total sense for them to win this match. But from the other perspective, it's fucking Natalya and Tamina. That's the kind of the other perspective. They're heels taking on two other heels, but they seem to be in the process of trying to turn them babyface because of the way they ended of like Natalya letting Tamina have her big moment by hitting a splash at the end of it. It's like, wow, Tamina's finally getting something.
Like, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it's like...
This whole thing is being built around the idea Tamina's going to get a title.
Maybe, because she's been there for like 10 years. And maybe they kind of just woke up one day and said, you know what we haven't done? Let's push her. And she might never get the women's title. So if we give her the tag titles, at least she did something, you know? Nia Jax could have been like, yeah, I'll put her over, you know.
Oh, yeah, Nia Jax would definitely be the one that would be that. That's the one woman that she'd allow to be put over. But this whole match is just it's an abomination. It's I can't really describe it as any other thing, because like the Lana match to start off with, Lana misses a kick to Billy, and Billy just takes a bump anyway. And then they'd have the pinfall attempt. Carmella has a wardrobe malfunction start of it. Actually, there was a wardrobe malfunction right at the very start in the first entrance, where the way that the lighting was meant that you saw Lana's pokies through her outfit as well.
I didn't notice that.
No, I didn't notice it the first time as well, but I saw people talking about it on Twitter. So I thought, I'd, for the good of the show, I had to investigate further. So
that'll be the justification behind it, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There needs to be some sort of... Liv Morgan and Ruby Riott cosplaying as the Joker and Harley Quinn from about 5 or 6 years ago. There's not even the most recent Harley Quinn and Joker outfit, so that's a.
Although, if they would have done something more on Birds of Prey, then that would have been even worse, because that Birds of Prey is even worse than Suicide Squad is. Hashtag release the air cut, by the way.
Yeah. To be fair, they were probably wearing the outfits that they were wearing, like the Joker and Harley Quinn wearing when they last got pushed. In any meaningful capacity. So, I mean, they get to go through two teams. You have the wardrobe malfunction by Dana Brooke. You have the slip by Mandy Rose. You have the fact that Michael Cole gets getting confused about whether it's Dana or Mandy in the ring at any point in time.
To be fair, though, they looked extremely similar tonight.
Yeah.
Like, they've been looking more and more alike recently. And tonight, it was just kind of, I had moments where I was just kind of like, one of them's in the ring. I don't know which one. I'm glad I'm not doing play-by-play, but move my move, because then it would have been worse than the, is it Jimmy or is it Jay? I don't know. It's one of the Usos kind of a thing, you know?
And then we have another sloppy match with Dana actually missing the senton pretty much completely, the final thing, and then rolling up, Liv Morgan rolls it up into a small package, and then, as you said, Greg Hamilton gets the wrong announcement. So it's just all going wrong at this point. Actually, the best match out of all of them is Natalya and Tamina against the Riot Squad, and that's like saying much, because that was just decent at best. And Tamina hits a splash where she basically goes like all flips almost all the way over at the end of it as well, because of just how how much she doesn't know how to hit her father's move. And yeah, I mean, as I say, considering how we've talked about how bad the booking has been going into this, this is one time that the booking actually worked, because they built up a team with a lot of wins and then they gave them a title shot, which just, it doesn't make sense in the context of who the champions are, and also the fact of it's Natalya and Tamina. And they just, you can only position people so well in the last couple of weeks as a tag team when after, especially in Tamina's case, 8 to 10 years of just completely nothing booking. You can't really resolve that in 6 weeks worth of, hey, we gave you about 3 tag team wins.
Right, because they could have booked this in a way. If they had this planned well enough in advance, this could have been something that they built towards. And then maybe people would have cared. But people just didn't. And I'm not going to end up hearing any arguments, I'm sure, that are going to really make the case that the SmackDown tag team titles shouldn't have been on this card, because you needed to make way for both this and the match that we're going to get tomorrow night. Because I'm assuming the match we're going to get tomorrow night is not going to be good.
No, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah. So anybody that was super excited about the Riot Squad winning, sorry. Anybody that was really into the idea of Lana and Naomi winning, sorry. So I guess you're hoping for the Tamina stands to come out in droves, yeah. And really...
I would say to those people, obviously, apologies for the people that didn't get the team they wanted to win. I would also say it's kind of your own fault for actually caring about this match in the first place.
For Ted, that's wondering, thinking that that I would have been super happy about the Tamina thing. There's a time frame where I thought, you know what, just push Tamina, but this isn't the way to do it. So, you know, sometimes in the course of like the grand scheme of things, I'll be happy if somebody wins a title just to be able to say that they've won a title. But for the most part, I always want them to put the effort in. And for Peter's question about the Bellas, I don't think we're getting the Bellas popping up tomorrow.
No.
I think that was just wishful thinking for a lot of people.
If they were going to appear, that would have been in this match.
Yeah, they would have been like surprise extra entrance or something, you know. Yeah. 101 Chain says, the night would have been perfect if that second match wasn't executed like that. if that second match wasn't on the card, I think that a lot of it would have been a lot better.
Yeah.
Like, if there was one match that could have been bumped from this because of the rain delay, obviously that would have been the one, you know?
I mean, at least it was the definitive low point of the show.
Yeah. There was nothing worse than this.
Yeah, everything else from here was at least in some way upwards from it. To be honest, the rest of the show was pretty good. So that at that point, I was like worried about it because I really liked the first match, but I thought it had gone off a little bit slow and it had obviously the weird ending of Lashley retaining. And then he moved on to this one. And I kind of felt, okay, it's going on a bit of a spiral here. And then fortunately, the next two men came out and it was all fine from there.
Yeah, the next match was Cesaro against Seth Rollins. And we all were in agreement ahead of this that if there's a couple matches that we can depend on are going to be good, we know that these two can deliver. And as long as they don't cut too much match time from them, then everything should be fine. And thankfully, that was the case. I didn't feel like they had cut a whole lot of time from this and screwed them over.
So I believe this match came in clocked in at just under 12 minutes. And I feel like they could have been given longer and told a bit more of a match, but I actually was kind of happy that it went a little bit at a faster pace. I think they got into some big moves pretty early, and I think that benefited the match overall. I almost walked out, well, finished off watching this match and thinking, wow, this would have been a really good opener.
Yeah.
Because it was just all action straight out the gate. It told a good story about how Cesaro was trying to get the spin off repeat, like the swing off repeatedly. He tried it the first time, but his arm had been worked over by Rollins multiple times, like obviously building up to this show and during the match as well. And that helped it out as well. Rollins then started taking over a little bit, doing his usual offense, hit a pedigree at one point, doing the, he did a corkscrew frog splash, which was interesting. I don't know how it makes it more impactful that it's a corkscrew, but it looked pretty good. I don't think I've ever seen someone do a move like that before. So kudos for him for being creative.
Maybe it's on the same wavelength of when people do the somersault that leads into the elbow in the corner.
Yeah.
Where it's just bounce, 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 elbow. Well, you could have just went bang and just did that real quick. It would have been a lot easier, you know?
Yeah, I don't mind people, especially heels, doing fancy moves and trying to add a little bit of flair to it, because just the idea of, oh, we're cocky with this sort of stuff, so we want to make it look as flashy as possible. And that move did look pretty flashy. I also liked his kick to the back of the head that he was doing as well. Kind of like, ah, you've been watching Will Ospreay matches. Yeah.
Thank you, Grim, for the super chat. He says, a great match, could have gone longer. Loved Seth's twist of frog splash from the top. Spins equals more damage. It's the more spins, that's what it is.
It builds up your combo score before you land. Yeah,
it's like some Sonic the Hedgehog kind of thing or something.
Yeah.
Thank you for the super chat, Grim.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed at first with the first swing that we got, because it was 9 swings. And I know that they were telling the story about the arm and whatever. And I was like, oh man, I really hope that they do something like, I wanted like 100, like ideally. I thought that would have been great. If they could have done 50, it would have been whatever. But then out of nowhere here, Cesaro pulls out something that I don't know if I've ever seen before, where he puts Rollins up on his shoulders and he starts spinning him like we've seen, you know, 1,000 times before, but then he lets go. And he's spinning them around with just, they called it the UFO spin. I thought that was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, so he's done this on the indies for a long, long time.
Yeah?
So essentially what he would do is against good workers and safe workers that you could trust, obviously, to do it, because it is a dangerous spot if it goes wrong. As you would see, he would do the fast spin around, and then he would hold his hands on his hips, go around for a little bit longer, and just fly the guy off.
Yeah.
And that is an awesome move. I don't think anybody else can do that move other than Cesaro, because he is a freak of nature.
Nuts. But
yeah, that was awesome. Does another swing, gets 23 out of it. The crowd gets super excited about it as well. And because I was so happy, because like they sold me a ticket earlier on the match, because he hit the neutralizer and Rollins kicked out. And then I just thought, okay, Rollins is going to win eventually. Just like, he's already hit the neutralizer. He'll probably do another swing or something like that, but Rollins will get out of it somehow and win the match. But no, he does the 23 swings, gets another neutralizer, hits it, and wins.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Like, just so good, because it's a feel-good moment. it gives, I mean, you can tell that he doesn't win a championship or anything, and Cesaro has this look on his face of like, oh my God, this is the best win I've ever had in my entire life, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a big moment for him, and very happy for him to get that result. I think he, absolutely, Rollins didn't need that victory.
Mm-mm.
I don't think this is over yet, because I just don't see any trajectory for these two just yet. But I'm going to have to see more matches with these two where it goes a little bit longer and gets to tell a bit more of a story with these two.
Yeah, I mean, based off of this performance and the fact that we know how good they are, give me more. I don't want them to wrestle for the next 7 months, because I think that that's a little too far. But if they get, you know, another one or two matches out of this, where, like, if you book these two against each other in some kind of a gimmick match, or even just maybe a regular match, again, at Money in the Bank, I'm totally cool with it. You don't need either of these to be in the Money in the Bank. You got plenty of other people that can be in that ladder match. And this could just be a mid-card match that's on the show. And maybe you give Rollins a win. Maybe you keep the train going with Cesaro and he just wins in another way. Maybe he taps him out or something with the sharpshooter, because that'd be kind of cool. And Carl says, now to perform it on Otis. Now that I want to see too.
He swung Carl Lee, so anything's possible.
If anybody could do it, it seems like Cesaro is the guy to do it. I want to see him just do... If he can, like, pull this out that I didn't know he had in his repertoire, what else is this guy, like, capable of that I don't even know, you know?
He can legitimately do everything except win a world championship.
That's the benchmark, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be able to pick up Otis and just, like, chuck him into the stratosphere, but then they'll be like, all right, well, the title's in the line. He'll be like, ah, crap, all right, come back here, you know? Thank you to Cloud as well for the super chat. He says, Cowboy Callum, give us a yeehaw.
Yeehaw. I can't really do it that loud because there are people sleeping in the same house as me, so I might record like a separate one when it's like or in daybreak and stuff like that and send it over, and
maybe
we can put it in, like Tony can feed it into the feed or something like that at some point.
Maybe we'll do a special like
Cowboy next themed episode
next week or something. Have a that'll be the main event. It's just me, you doing cowboy things.
Yeehaw.
That's exactly how I wanted it, Klaus.
I kind of like the deadpan version of it. It's just like, but I legitimately popped myself when I listened to me doing when I did that like super long stupid plug that I did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
like just listening back to it, I'm just like, oh, actually, I'm quite funny.
Let's see here. Raw Tag Team Championship match was next. My first note was, Omos is not wearing ring gear. Kind of curious. I thought that maybe he wouldn't even do anything. And really strange. This match was odd in a lot of different ways. It felt like it was like three different matches in one, because there were moments where it felt like a normal match. There were moments where it was just guaranteed that the New Day were the heels, which was weird. And then we reached a point in the match that I said it felt like a squash from 1980 something. But I loved it this entire time. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah, it was a very bizarre put together match. It kind of, again, it makes sense in terms of who's in the match and what they were trying to build towards, which is everyone's just watching this match, wanting to see what Omos can do and get Omos in the ring because it's his first performance. And so they decided to flip it on his head by basically saying, okay, we're going to tell this story that AJ isn't a quote-unquote tag team wrestler, and the New Day are going to keep him in his corner and show, okay, this is how tag team wrestling works, because we're just going to work you over for ages and ages and ages. And then there's this the cool spot at the towards the end where Styles is taking Kofi out and is just staring at the floor at Woods up in the top corner, and then he's looking at Omos, then he's looking at Woods, then he's looking at Omos, and you're just like, okay, we're going to make the tag. Omos comes in and just starts no selling.
Yeah, he gets drop kicked, does nothing. Kofi jumps off the top, catches him, just tossing him around left and right, and they're making him look like a monster. And it ends with Styles just going, hey, put one foot down, and that's how he wins.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the backbreaker onto Woods. I thought that looked pretty good. Yeah. And then he just puts a claw on. And then you just start realizing, I mean, first the claw and then the tree slam to get Kofi down, and just feel like, okay, this guy is a slightly more athletic, slightly, I don't know how big he is in comparison to him, but he's probably a slightly bigger Great Khali.
I don't know. Let me try to look that up real quick. How tall is Jordan Ahmad Ben? He's 7'3".
I imagine he's taller than Khali.
Great Khali is 7'1".
Yeah.
So, yeah, little bit bigger than him. Not by too much. Not like, you know, difference between Rey Mysterio or something.
I mean, again, I appreciate the idea of him being hard to take down and the fact they couldn't do anything about it. Because they are significantly smaller than Omos. And if you are going to build him like, okay, this guy's just an impenetrable monster, then that's the way that you build him up, by just having him destroy these two and just get the pin all on his own. I love the phenomenal forearm off of his shoulders. That was... That's like a nice little bit of tag team offense. It means that AJ had some involvement in it as well, because otherwise it would have just been, okay, AJ might as well have not been here.
Right, because then if he could have just come out there, beat the crap out of those two, then AJ wouldn't have needed to even tag in to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. And so it means that he gets a bit of involvement. He obviously wins the tag title, he's the Grand Slam champion now. I think there's few people that deserve it more than AJ Styles, so that's totally fine. And... yeah, we're now on the train to Omos fighting Drew McIntyre at some point for the WWE Championship.
Maybe.
I believe that'll be a match that we have. Maybe not WrestleMania, but that's a match that we'll see down the road, I think.
I loved so much of this thing. I thought that it was great that Omos... I think that they're leaning more towards sticking with the Omos pronunciation, by the way. I heard more Omos tonight than anything else. A couple other people were still calling him Omos and stuff. But I like that he got the hot tag and people popped for it. There was a good amount of balancing out who gets the hot tag kind of stuff tonight. Not in the tag team turmoil match, but, you know, at least in this match and then in the other match that we had that we'll talk about a little bit later on. Yeah, I just like this. I just thought that this was cool and genuinely a fun segment to watch. And now also it's easier for the New Day to get the 12th title reign because now they lost it so they can win it again in the future.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see who they end up dropping the title to. Because I imagine it will have some sort of involvement where AJ is the one that's pinned.
Yeah.
And that will probably lead to the breakup of Styles and Omos as well.
Yeah, because then Styles can do the whole, like, where were you? You know, why weren't you in my corner in that time of thing? And he would have been like, you're the one that got pinned, jackass, you know? And then he can chop him in the head or, you know, chuck him into the Thunderdome screen or something, whatever he ends up doing. They can feud going
have
forward.
A Punjabi prison match.
Maybe. Then we can factor in maybe the people that beat them are Dilsha Shanky and Giant Sanjay. And could be the new, what was it called? The Superstar. No, it was the Superstar Showdown, was it? I think it was.
Superstar Spectacle
or
something.
Superstar Spectacle. That's what it was. Yeah. I like that. I thought that was really cool. Then we got a commercial for not some of the other commercials that we got throughout the night, because even if you paid for the commercial free version of Peacock, you got commercials for DraftKings and for what was it? There's Snickers and Papa John's and 15 Cricket stuff. Yeah. 15 different commercials throughout this whole thing or whatever. But we got a commercial for WWE 2K22. I'm not a gamer. I haven't played any of the games in a long time, and I've not liked any of the games, really, because I don't like the dynamics of like how they actually function. But at least for this promo, it looked like that was kind of good. But then again, you can't judge things based off of that. Every video game commercial has like the best graphics for the pre-rendered CGI things that aren't the actual game. So you can't judge it based off of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to go a long way to restore mine and a lot of gamers' trust with this game, especially considering the dumpster fire that 2K20 was. And yeah, I'm not going to buy it or pre-order it until I hear good things about it. And even then, I haven't been a huge player of those games. It's going to need some sort of hook for me. And obviously not from... Obviously, hook's going to be in the AEW game, probably. But... it's going to need some sort of thing that it has with it that other games haven't had in the past or brought back from previous iterations of the game that I liked in order for me to get interested in playing it.
it is going to be weird that this will be the one that they can't include a lot of people on the roster. Just because, like, you can't have Jericho on the roster. You can't put Christian on the roster. You can't, you know, like, talk about that another time.
I'm sure they'll find enough people from the about 400 people they have under employment and and the people they have under Legends contracts and all that stuff.
Well, then again, though, how many people are really going to be like, oh, man, I can't play as Rusev or I can't play as Sting, but I can play as, just A-Kid, for an example. Like, you know, Carl says, hit me right in the cyberpunk feels. Ted says, we talking video games? When's Disc 2 of Final Fantasy VII Remake coming out? It's lost on me. I don't know. To me, I'm still confused about the fact that there's Final Fantasy and there's like 1,000 games. Where's their final?
I'm sure if Rob was here, he'd be able to give you a bit more of a succinct answer. I'm a gamer, but I'm not that kind of gamer. I don't think I've ever played a Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, the most recent console that I own is a PlayStation 2.
Actually, Oh, God, that is very bad. I mean, earlier today, I was finally playing the Spider-Man Miles Morales game.
Good.
So far, I mean, it's pretty much the same as the previous Spider-Man game. So it is, and that game was great as well. The web swinging, as per usual, is just top notch.
Yeah, even in PlayStation 2, I liked doing that with some of those games. So.
Oh yeah, I used to love the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man remakes into video games. They were pretty good.
Yeah, and if you want more discussion about video games and stuff, by the way, fanboysanonymous.com. Everyone, that is where we will do some of those kind of things. So. You know, maybe you want us to talk more about the whole stuff we were talking earlier about Harley Quinn and the Joker and all that. If you're interested, we did the Mount Rushmore of Batman villains. Go ahead and check that out, too. You can always hit up the Patreon as well. Patreon.com/FanboysAnonymous. Patreon.com/SmartCatMoment to just make sure that we do any particular content or to just, you know, toss a buck our way and help us grow. There's 6 Mission Impossible films. That's lost on me. What are we talking about with Mission Impossible?
I don't know. I don't think I was talking. I don't think we were talking about that, but
I think I did a review about 4 of them, so that's on Fanboys as well. Big fan of the Mission Impossible movies, but we'll talk about that another time too. Let's move over to the steel cage match, the 140th steel cage match in WWE history. I had to say, so why not? First note that I had, of course, was I always love the dum 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 dum. Every time they do it, I'm like, they're doing it. So fun. And this isn't the way that I would have booked things. I never would have been like in the creator's room, sitting at the conference table, going over ideas for WrestleMania. And you never would have heard from me. How about Elias and Jackson Riker are the stooges for Shane McMahon, then a feud where he can call Braun Strowman stupid and it'll lead to a cage match? Never would have been the direction I would have gone. But I liked it overall. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I think I was immediately like biased against this match because of the people that are involved in it. But I think the way they structured it was actually pretty good. I mean, I don't like Shane getting a huge amount of offense on people, especially someone like Braun, who's twice his size, and him doing rope-a-dope with him and stuff like that. It's just a little bit far-fetched to me. But he does the stuff like the coast-to-coast and all this other stuff. He's hitting him with chairs and baking sheets and all this other stuff that he can find.
Toolbox.
He gets a toolbox. Yeah, toolbox at one point. He's getting help from Riker and Elias from the outside. So he's doing a lot to try and stack the deck. And in the end, it was booked to the idea that Shane was the one that did something stupid, which was he just stalled when he could have just easily climbed out of the cage. He stalled to wave at Strowman. Strowman grabs him by the hand. And then gets into a situation where they're both perched on the top, and I'm terrified at this point because Strowman's standing on top of it, and like he's huge, and he's never really proven to be the most like, I guess fleet-footed, the way to do it. He hasn't really got the balance of a ballerina or something like that. So I felt, oh, he's got a bit of an issue here, and then he throws Shane into the ring, and I was. That bump is terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it would have been safer for him to fall into a crash mat underneath an announce table on the floor. But obviously then they decided to go the story of Braun's not stupid. He's not going to throw him out of the ring because he knows that he will lose the match that way. He's going to throw him into the ring instead. And that bump is terrifying because he actually just lands flat back on the mat and that's really painful. I would have been more reassured if he'd gone through the ring, because it means they would have prepared for it at the very least. Yeah,
that would have been gimmicked in some fashion. That would have been easier.
Yeah, but Shane has a death wish, and he just wants to do things like dangerous and reckless in the ring just so his dad will give him a hug at the end of the day. And all I know is that he would have gone through the curtain at the end of it, having taken that massive bump and power slam and losing the match, and Vince would have just given him a pat on the back, the injured back, and just said, good job, pal. See you next week.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of in that boat of thinking that they would have had Strowman pull the stupid thing, throw him off, land in the commentary table, and that be the end of it, so that way he could be like, oh, Braun was stupid and whatever. But instead, he does the smart thing. And we also got that cool moment where he ripped the chain link fence, because that was cool. We haven't seen that before. So he wins in a decisive pinfall victory, and that's kind of the end of it. I don't think that they need to do anything more.
No, I hope they don't go back to this. You have Braun win. You don't need to tell another story about it, but I don't feel confident that that is it, regardless.
If they do want to keep this going, it never is. I would be cool with them keeping it going by having somebody like how, I think it was you that had brought this up, that like Shane wants some kind of retribution, so he sticks Dabba Kato on him. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah, it'd be totally fine if he gets a proxy to do it for him. Then it's something a little bit different. But I still worry about just Shane's involvement in general.
Yeah. I like that. It's not something, again, that I would have booked. But then again, I don't know what I would have done with either of these guys. So I'll take the win.
Yeah. I'd say overall this was a thumbs up, which I wasn't expecting it to do.
Yeah. After that, we had another thing with Bailey and Michael Cole, just to set up the Hall of Fame, and gave me a few minutes to kind of catch up on some of the stuff that I was writing. So I wasn't paying too much attention to if anything happened during this Hall of Fame thing. I know that was kind of weird when they would cut away and be like, everybody cheer for Shatner and Liger who weren't there. But it seemed like it was just the regular parade.
Yeah, I don't think there was anything particularly standout about it. Just have like British Bulldogs family there and the NWO coming out. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the fact that they only just did the 2021 on this episode, and so the next day they're going to do the 2021 one. So rather than having them all out in one fell swoop, they're going to split it up. So that's better.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was the 220 class, according to Hulk Hogan. And then we went into one of the best matches of the entire night. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest against The Miz and John Morrison, which started off awkward because we had a bunch of rabbits coming to the ring, and at least four of them lost some of their ears.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I did find it hilarious, Morrison and Miz lip-syncing to the ring.
Lip-syncing, but also having a live mic, so they were off. And, you know, that was kind of bad.
I loved it because it was bad. That's kind of what their gimmick is, really.
Yeah, they're great at being this kind of a heel. And
also, I forgot to mention, former WWE champion, The Miz.
Former two-time WWE
champion. Yeah. The former WWE champion, The Miz.
Yeah, he comes out there. They do that whole shtick. Damian Priest comes out. He's got a pretty decent enough entrance. But Bad Bunny's got the best entrance of the whole night. Even though I don't like the whole car thing, it was cool.
Yeah, him surfing on the back of the big rig is pretty good.
And he gets some good pyro. He looks like he's pumped and ready to go. And he starts off the match. And he wrestles 90% of the match. And I'm like, you know, I wrote an article however many months ago about I don't want to see Bad Bunny in a match at WrestleMania, because what's the point? It's not going to be good. Is it really going to help out that much with the media coverage and everything? Blah, 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 blah. And I will fully admit I was wrong. I was wrong on every single aspect of that, except for the fact that I just didn't know who he was, because I can't be wrong. I didn't know. that's the only element that I was right about, because he worked his ass off, and he's clearly gotten a lot of media coverage going on for them. And he was great.
Yeah, there must be something in the water with these celebrities now coming in, because a lot of them are coming in and actually really taking to wrestling really well. I mean, say Shaq did a pretty good job when he was wrestling in the previous one. You had like people like Stephen Amell come in and do a really good job in the past. And now you have Bad Bunny here. And yeah, I thought he clearly was being trained pretty well. Does some nice little arm drags. I know you said like strictly he wrestled 90% of the match. Realistically, he wrestled 20% of this match, sold for 70% of the match, and then tagged in Damian Priest towards the end of it. I mean, he did some cool stuff, like I said, some of the arm drags, some of the punches to the Miz and stuff like that. But then I feel like the one weak thing I'd say about this match is that the selling and the heat segment on Bad Bunny went on for probably one or like 2 to 3 minutes too long. It just was getting a little bit... especially when the show is already going to go longer because of the rain delay and stuff like that. You probably could cut that down a little bit and just get the hot tag to the Priest. I thought when Priest made the hot tag, he was awesome. Mm-hmm. Just kicking people over the place. Priest is... I feel like if Priest was younger, because obviously he's pushing 40, even though that's not really saying much in WWE these days, but he is pushing 40. If he was younger, I'd say he's got to be a world champion at some point, because he just looks the part. He just looks exceptional. But
still could happen too.
Definitely still could. He was setting things up well for Bad Bunny as well. I liked the little double team move they did. They both did like a synchronized move. I can't remember what it was.
Are you talking about when they jumped to the outside? Because that wasn't really synchronized.
He did the crossbody. That was like a they both did a simultaneous Falcon Arrow.
Oh yeah, that part. Yeah, with he that was pulled that off really well.
Yeah, that was the most impressed I was with Bunny, because it's just like, that's not the most straightforward move to nail, when he got it brilliantly. But then he also does a Canadian Destroyer on the outside.
Yeah,
and that made me appreciate John Morrison is a miracle worker. Not just because, like, obviously Bad Bunny obviously had to do a good job to do that as well, and full props to him for that. But there's a lot of it on the guy selling that move. And John Morrison is just,
crazy.
Who's always, he's crazy and also just super athletic. Just, he did some excellent work with Bad Bunny. And then they end it with the Doomsday Device crossbody and pin the Miz. As you'd expected, Bad Bunny gets the pin on the Miz. He gets the applause at the end of it. But yeah, it was a fun match. I think other than the slightly overly long heat segment on Bad Bunny, it was an excellent celebrity match.
Maybe the best celebrity match that we've had at Mania over the course of this. We've had some...
Oh, yeah. At Mania. I always have a soft spot in my heart for Mayweather Big Show. Just because I think it was really well booked. I don't think Mayweather was as athletic or as like spectacular in this match as Bad Bunny was, but I felt like the story of that one was slightly better. But yeah, I was a big fan of this match. It's definitely better than like Snooki and Maria Menounos. And stuff
it's 100% the best celebrity match that involves John Morrison at wrestling. I can say that. Yeah, that's no debate about that. But yeah, I mean, Morrison, like Grimm says, selling the hell out of these moves, doing that was great. Kaelin saying one of the most surprising celebrity wrestling appearances in his memory. Yeah, fully agreed, because it was just surprisingly very damn good. And yeah, I mean, there's moments in it where, you know, this move's not really done all that well or whatever, but you can't judge him based off of being somebody who would have been wrestling for 10 years or something. And you got to give him a little bit of slack, and he did way more than I was even willing to give him a little bit of slack for, like pulling off some of the moves that I did, like the Falcon Arrow, like you said. That's not an easy thing to do. And if you do that wrong, you could really injure somebody too. Doesn't seem like that was the case. Hands are just doing a great job with that. Damian Priest looks good. Miz Morrison lose, which, yeah, people can complain about the whole, like, he's a former WWE champion and Morrison could have been a world champion at some point or whatever, but they clearly enjoy doing this type of stuff too. And given the option, what would you rather do? Would you rather be in the thing that's going to get a lot of media coverage and you get to play the heel character and you do the thing that you're doing and lose? Or would you want to be one man in a six-pack challenge for the title where it doesn't really matter, you know?
Oh yeah, these guys are company guys. They know what sort of, again, media coverage and speculation you can get out of this match as well. So I think given the option, they would definitely take this one. Miz is more than happy to take the pin in pretty much any circumstance. So
yeah, So I really liked it. Grimm also says that he was trained by Drew Gulak and Adam Pearce.
Yeah, they. I think that was reported in the build up to it. So, yeah, these guys. I mean, Drew Gulak's exceptional, so of course he would do a great job with that. And Adam Pearce was a good worker back in the day as well. So they did an excellent job. Kudos to them.
Gulak is a guy that when he first came in, I was just like, oh my god, I don't like this dude. And then eventually it became a point where I'm like, he's like such a valuable asset. They need to make sure that they lock this guy down for a lifelong career of just being in the comedic spots, being just a regular wrestler because he's great, and also being a trainer for the future because he has to be taking like that Norman Smiley kind of spot or something down the line.
You'd hope so, yeah.
I like that John Morrison did a spin-a-rooney in front of Booker T. That's a good little
heat moment. He does a spin-a-rooney better than Booker T does.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting it out there now.
Because he's Morrison, so it's, you know. Then we switched over to the main event, which was, if we weren't following, it's the SmackDown Women's Championship match. Bianca Belair, Royal Rumble winner, challenging Sasha Banks. Feud leading into this, as we've mentioned, utter garbage. Just absolutely the worst. Didn't do any favors for anybody. Terrible in every segment. All along, it was basically girl versus ha 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 was the laugh that she just does all the time now. And the Reginald stuff.
I'm the SmackDown Women's Champion. That's all that really drawn out way that she speaks.
Reginald stuff and Nia Jax stuff. Just garbage for the past 4 months.
Yeah, all this old stuff.
And the bell rings and it's like, all right, yeah, fuck all that. That's basically what it came down to, as we were expecting. They've got great entrances. They look phenomenal. The crowd's into it. Bianca Belair's crying at the start of it. And it's like, aw, again, like, that's so endearing. I love it.
She's such a pure baby face. Right,
You got to do the laugh again. Which was that? Which one was this? I don't even remember who did it.
Ha, ha, ha. That sort of thing, yeah.
I'm not digging that kind of version of the character, but I still want his PowerPoint presentation. He never got to slide 27. Yeah, we just carry that on. Maybe that'll be the gimmick that Gulak down the line is teaching everybody. And he goes, all right, the 50th lesson for the WWE Performance Center is. But yeah, I loved this match. It is going on my list of match of the year candidates.
Wow. I didn't have quite the same affinity for this match as you did. I did really, really like it. The one thing, and I don't know whether it was a positive or negative for me, Sasha kept going for the hair. And it's like, it makes sense because that hair is there, so why not use it if you can? If she's going to use it as a weapon, then you should use it against her at any opportunity. Just that I haven't seen a lot of people do that. And maybe that's a positive, maybe it's a negative. It just felt a bit, I just kind of feel like, okay, you've done the hair spot now, that's good. And now, okay, you're doing another hair spot. Okay, and now you're doing another hair spot as well. It's just everything revolved around, but pretty much 90% of this match seems to me revolve around Bianca's hair. I just felt it was a little bit much.
Maybe if they do that again in a rematch, then I'll think that it's a little bit weird, but it didn't stand out to me as anything strange.
Yeah. I mean, Bianca was doing some really cool stuff. She was doing like running shooting star presses and like the stalling suplexes where she was just showing as much power as possible.
That
like
extended vertical suplex sequence, whatever you want to call it, that was so good because she's just, I mean, there's maybe 4 moments in that where she could have dropped her and she just kept her up.
She hit like a 450 at some point as well, during it as well. Sasha was, again, the wily veteran. She does, I like the dive to the outside. That's really early on. She does a dive to the outside. Bianca catches her, lifts her up into the military press, throws her back into the ring. And you just see Sasha's face like, oh no, you didn't just do that to me.
Right.
And then you know that it's on at that point. And yeah, Sasha lived up to the heel status in this one. She was clearly the heel. She was clearly getting booed for the most part. She was getting frustrated when Bianca made it to the ropes off the bank statement and just started like kicking at her and pulling at the hair a little bit more and just showing a bit more of the heel tendency. But they made the right decision of I would say that the best part of the match was that little flurry of sequences leading into the KOD.
Mm-hmm.
because they were just like transitioning from one move to another, just trying to escape it constantly. Sasha, you felt Sasha was always going to get out of it, but then she just gets her on her shoulders pretty quickly, hits it like super fast. Like she didn't stall for a second, she just get it down and pin her after one of those moves. It wasn't like, oh, it wasn't just like spam kick out of finishers. It was like, okay, hit my big move, win the match.
Yeah, and there were a couple moments during that little flurry that I was like, oh shit, Sasha's going to win. You know, like when they did the whole thing where I forget how long it might have been. It might have been like 20 seconds or so that she was in the bank statement and then she breaks out of it. I was like, yeah, they're going to do that kind of thing where she breaks out of it, she goes for the move, and then Sasha ends up winning anyway type of things, because they've done that kind of finish before. So I started to get a little nervous about that. But once she actually hit the KOD and I could feel like, because, you know, there's always that kind of thing where it's like, all right, well, is this the real finisher or is this the finisher that they kick out of? I was just like, it doesn't feel like it's going to be one of those kick out ones. Okay, I think we're getting Belair. And I probably would have been okay if Sasha would have retained, but guaranteed I wouldn't have liked this as much, because it's just, there's a certain level of, I don't care if it's predictable. If the logical thing is the way to do it, do it. You're not going to get me happier with a swerve just by going, I didn't see that one coming, if I don't want that to be the outcome. And yeah, with Belair, I'm like, no, just give it to Belair. Like, Sasha's won the title multiple times. She doesn't need to win this match. If Belair loses, then they're doing the same kind of thing they've done before, where they just kind of screw somebody's momentum and then they have to work upward from a negative spot. And they didn't screw it up like that. I'm like, wow. Yeah, this could have gone in a bad direction. Yeah.
I had a few comments. First of all, after hitting the 450 and Sasha kicking out of that, Bianca put on a face of like somebody who'd just seen a puppy die in front of her.
Yeah.
And I felt, okay, that's a little much. Like, I can understand, I know there's always the thing in WWE of like the shock kick out face. Everyone has to do it and everyone has to have a version of it. But she basically like, she acted like she'd just gone paranoid for a second there. It's just like, oh my god, it's just like, and screaming and going hysterical. I just think, yeah, just maybe tone that down a little bit. Everything else you're doing is great, just that needs to just tone down a little bit.
Should she have had the Undertaker and Brock Lesnar moments where she could have just been like you know, like, and then Sasha could have done that laugh. That would have been so much better. I want somebody to like cut that into there now. Just kind of make some kind of like, you know, weird, I don't know, TikTok mashup or something.
But you know that you made the right decision with the, as soon as Bianca hits the KOD, people are literally trying to jump over the barricade. I think that was her family and stuff like that. It was just like, oh, there's people like the fans are just the outside are just like jumping up, and they nearly like, one of them just nearly leaped over the barricade to just try and get out. It's just like, okay, this is the top babyface star you have right now. Don't fuck this up by doing what you do with baby faces. Just let it play out. She's great. She's a total natural. Everything she does is believable. You know that she cares about this so much. So just keep playing to that and you'll be totally fine. I'd be very happy to see this match be a rematch, maybe even at the next pay-per-view. Totally fine with it, because I feel like you can tell more of this story. This feels to me a bit like Sasha and Bayley from the first start of it, when like from Brooklyn, and then you lead them to respect at that point. I think that they could tell a good story with another stipulation attached to it. I don't know what that necessarily would be, but I think you could do some sort of interesting stipulation match with those two.
They can't tell a good story from the beginning of it. We've seen that.
No, obviously, yeah. I mean, I don't have any faith for any other feud they're going to do, but at least I know that they're always going to seem to pull out a good match out at the end of it now. So because this is the first attempt that these two got working together, then you can only assume that it will only go upwards from here, as long as you space them out enough anyway.
Yeah, I mean, if they run this into the ground, eventually it'll be like, all right, move on to a different thing. Just, there's too much of a good thing can happen with anything. You know, I don't eat pasta every single day.
No.
But
I love to see the, like, they had a nice shot of obviously with Bianca celebrating the title, but then you see Sasha on the outside, that giant welt across her abs.
Oh, the shot from the hair. God, that was loud. Jeez.
I was talking to a friend of mine about the hair whip spot, and because like she'd only seen Bianca a few times, and said like, oh, the cool thing about the hair spot is that like it makes a good noise, but it can never hurt you. And I just looked at that and just go, holy shit, that looks pretty fucking bad to me. I
don't want to get by that. I'm not going to be the one that tests out whether or not that's going to hurt you, because that, for that to be that loud, it has to hurt like a son of a bitch, you know? And yeah, sometimes, you know, you can get like, you can, you know, fall and hurt yourself in a way that like theoretically should hurt you a lot worse, and you stub your toe, and stubbing your toe is the worst thing in the world kind of a thing. This could be one of those things that that smack is just sort of like, yeah, it's going to sting for like a week, you know? The welt, like, I didn't even really get a good shot of the welt, but if there is a giant welt that happens right after that, then we're talking like, you know, Jericho at that one Royal Rumble where he's got the big knot on his head or something.
I don't know if I'd even class it as a welt, it's just like a giant line across her abs. It's just like, it's like, oh, wow, that's a great visual just to see the mark they left behind. I'm sure Sasha will post something onto Twitter or Instagram or something like that with the mark and.
Yeah,
show how badass she is. We also have to bring up the fact that I think it was obviously the right decision for Bianca to win. She had a lot of momentum going into it, and you don't want to cut that off at the legs. There is the kind of flip side to this, is that Sasha is now 0-6 at WrestleMania.
Yeah, Peter brought that up in the chat. He said she's got to win next year or she's Big Show.
it's weird because obviously she does need a win at WrestleMania at some point.
Yeah.
And I knew that she wasn't. I kind of knew that she wasn't winning here because they didn't bring up the fact of it in commentary. Because they danced over the phrase of like saying like, oh, Sasha knows what to do. She's been on the grandest stage in them all from that time. She's a 6-time women's champion, all that other stuff. But they never mentioned the fact that she's never won at WrestleMania. And you would only say that if she's about to win at WrestleMania.
Right, because then it would be, oh, for the first time, she's actually finally won at Mania. And
yeah. So they danced around that, and they made sure specifically not to say that, because then people wouldn't be as upset when they have Bianca. They're going to have Bianca win the title in this one. So I assume they're going to have to give her a win at some point. But maybe, again, it's just one of those things with Sasha. Like, the former story was that Sasha could never hold a title past her first defense. Well, now she's over that hump, but now she's never won a match at WrestleMania. There's always something with Sasha that she has to overcome.
Yeah, and I do think, if she's able to have the longevity that we're all kind of hoping that she has, I think she not only wins the Royal Rumble, but I think that she might get a title win at WrestleMania too. Just kind of, I mean, what's the likelihood that they're going to book her in a match at WrestleMania and it's not going to be for the title too? Like, it's going to be some six-woman tag or something. But the way that they, you know, depending on if we get Rhea Ripley tomorrow and whatever, I'm assuming that we're not going to keep both those champions all the way until next year's WrestleMania. But I'll say, based off of the strength of this match, if they don't run Belair Banks into the ground, I wouldn't mind a scenario where Belair holds the title for a whole year, Sasha wins the Royal Rumble, and Sasha beats Belair next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't be totally against it. I mean, I like the title maybe moving around a little bit more. But yeah, especially when you've had like Bayley hold the title for a very long time as well. I know it's slightly different with a babyface, but I'm usually of the opinion that babyfaces shouldn't hold the title super long. I feel like the heel's the ones that hold it, because there's more interest in someone chasing the title than there is.
Yeah.
Like, once the chase has happened, the person holding the title. I don't think she should hold it for like a short window of time by any stretch of imagination. I don't think it necessarily needs to end like SummerSlam or anything like that. But it'd be interesting to see who they choose as the next champion. I mean, if I was to make a prediction now, I'd say Sonya Deville.
I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Because they had her in the kickoff show segment as well, and she seems to be talking shade towards the women of the division. I think right now she's angling for the full GM position.
Yeah, what are they doing with this whole thing?
They're reverting to type with the heel GM role, and they've decided, okay, we're going to make Sonya that person.
Well, they teased this whole thing with, she's arguing with Adam Pearce about how tomorrow's main event shouldn't be a triple threat, which has some people going, okay, they're going to change it. And I'm like, I don't know. I wouldn't put past anything at this point, but
I think it's unlikely they're going to change it, but I think they're going to use whatever the outcome of that match is for Sonya to essentially say, well, it should have been Edge versus Roman, and we wouldn't have. That's why it's almost strengthening my resolve that I think Daniel Bryan's winning, in the fact that she's saying, like, oh, it was meant to be Roman versus Brian. Not Roman versus Edge, sorry. And so now we've got Brian as champion, and the other two are maybe in her mind, she'll say, like, bigger stars, or they're the rightful champions. And she'll use that as a chance to get Pierce usurped or start drawing even more friction between the two of them, eventually leading to Sonya taking over.
We could do that.
And then she'll become, she'll use that position of power to put herself in a position where she can win the women's title.
Something to keep in mind. If it happens, you heard it here first. So.
Yeah, I'd like to put some scenarios forward. It's probably just going to be Sasha again. But I'd like to see, I mean, there's plenty of possibilities out there. There's some good names on SmackDown she can feud with. Obviously, I'd like to see a bit more with Sasha. Bayley's obviously the next option. I know she already feuded with Bayley, but for the title, it's slightly different.
You can do a one-month recap of that, and, you know, 4 weeks leading up to a pay-per-view. It's not going to be the end of the world. You know.
I'm trying to think of who else really. I mean, Tamina's getting a push now, so maybe Tamina can do.
There's also always a chance that they do move some people around. We could get a superstar shakeup. We could get Chelsea Green and Santana Garrett were supposed to be coming to SmackDown a couple weeks ago. Then that just kind of fizzled. So not that I really am harping on, like, Santana Garrett should be the next challenger or something. But, you know, I mean, if they move around a couple people here and there, maybe like Nikki Cross moves over to SmackDown and feuds or something, or, you know. Let me check a couple things in the chat that's going on right here that I had missed out on. Marco had said Rob's probably having the time of his life right now, although he might be wishing he'd gone. Yeah, maybe, because this is he is like the number one Belair kind of mark out of the three of us, more so. Not that we don't like Belair, because we all like Belair, but.
Oh, yeah, Belair's great. It's just a Rob. Like,
Rob takes it to an extra level. Rob's the Vladimir Bianca Belair. Were you guys surprised they didn't mention that AJ is a Grand Slam champion after finally winning the tag team belts, or not take Omos's shine?
I mean, they've got plenty of time to mention that. They'll bring it up eventually.
I'm expecting that on Raw, one of the segments is AJ being all like, you know, look at this, I finally won the title, and, you know. Guess why it says nah, she slapped her leg. That's what the smack was. It's banned. Remember? You can't.
Yeah.
They left a welt on Sasha. She showed it for the camera.
She slapped her leg with her hair.
Yeah. Has Sasha successfully defended a single title yet? She retained a couple times against Carmella.
Yeah, and she defended against Bayley as well once she won it as well. So she's defended it a few times now.
And they said that she was one of the first women in the Hell in a Cell match. Didn't mention that she lost to Charlotte. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's absolutely a revisionist history type of thing. Be like, you know.
She's only won one Hell in a Cell out of the three that she's been in.
Yeah. But then they could just go, she's even won a Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. Kind of like when they did with the Royal Rumble, where they go, you know, not many people have won from the number one spot, but somebody who has was Shawn Michaels. And then they just move right on and don't mention Chris Benoit.
Well, they can say Edge now as well.
So. Now they can. Maybe that's one of the reasons why they did that. Two of those people were Edge and Shawn Michaels.
They're
like, and, you know, some other people won from number two. How about that? Let's talk about that. You know? I do want to mention another thing that I forgot to mention earlier. It was really awkward seeing the commentary team standing ringside and looking at a monitor on the floor right next to the apron for the first match. A little bit weird. I hope that they figure out all of those things for tomorrow, because if we do get a bunch of rain tomorrow, maybe they'll have things tarped off ahead of time or some kind of a game plan for if something happens, what do we do for a delay that could be a little bit better. That's why we're ending this as late as we are, because it got started 45 minutes after that we were supposed to be. So
it's so light, it's light outside now.
Oh, that's going on. Yeah, you got it on your left. So that's night one of WrestleMania. It is something that I am overall very happy about. Stressful as all hell today, but at least the WrestleMania element of it, even though some of it I was, you know, kind of like, oh my God, I got to rush this and I got to do that and I got to do this. It worked out. And I think that despite some of the problems that we had along the way, it ended up being a really good show.
Yeah, outside of the delay at the start of it and the absolutely truly abominable, I don't want to stress it enough, it's one of the worst matches in WrestleMania history, that women's tag team title match. all the rest of the matches ranged from good to great. And so, yeah, I'd overall say night one was a success.
Yeah, I am overall feeling a lot happier about a lot of these things. I'm hoping, of course, we don't get any kind of bad news from this about anybody being injured or COVID stuff or whatever. I know that Tom Phillips apparently had some kind of thing going on, and they're going to shuffle around the commentary teams, which we'll talk more about on the hot tags most likely. But that is something that I guess we're going to roll on into night two and see how that all plays out. And I was more excited for night one than night two, and I hope that I'm wrong about that, just as wrong as I was about Bad Bunny.
Well, yeah, I guess it's the opportunity to see whether The Fiend and Randy Orton can beat that tag team turmoil to the worst match of the weekend, because it's going to take some doing now.
I don't know if weather should be the thing that you should be saying right
now. I mean, it's whether the weather will be involved or not.
Yeah. I'm going to read one more thing in the chat here. Michael Cole sucked tonight. He was a boob, had to mention, oh, I thought she kicked out. Please, Vince, don't tear me apart for saying Sasha kicked out. Wait, what? A boob had to mention? What?
I assume you just called it.
Oh, he was Cole a boob. Okay. I'm thought you're saying that Michael Cole's going.
We saw plenty of boobs tonight, really, in the attacking turn on that. So.
I'm reading your thing too quick, Ted, and I thought that you were saying Michael Cole's, like, literally shouting out, Sasha kicked out! A boob! Just, you know, kind of doing that. Then it would be a big problem, you know. You doing a three-man team Sunday night or two-man table again? Two-man table.
Yeah, Rob's got better things to do with his actual employers.
Yeah, he's got some other things that he's taking care of.
His other captors are dealing with him that night, and we have to feed off the scraps, really.
Yeah, but if you guys want to see more of these kind of things, now that we know that some of the stuff is working out better, because I got the newer computer a couple months ago and everything, that's we kind of worked out a little bit of. I'm hoping that throughout this night, you know, the audio was synced up correctly and everything. If it wasn't, let me know. Nobody mentioned anything in the chat, so I'm assuming that it was fine. But, you know, we're going to do this again tomorrow night. And if you want to see more from this, hit up the Patreon. And just like you guys are doing right now in the live chat and everything, even just checking this out in general and chatting it up is something that makes us get motivated to keep doing things going forward and all that. And, I don't know what else I need to plug here. Merchandise shops, you know them. Like and subscribe and all that stuff. You know the score by now. If you're watching this at this point, you're probably somebody who's been following the channel. I need to bog it down and a whole bunch of crap. But I'm at Tony Mango. You can see that in the thing below. That's this part of the screen, I think. This part? Yeah. There we go. Not used to that yet. I'm reversed on this. And Callum's on his section because that's on the screen as well.
Yeah. I'm going to assume it's out there.
A little bit like that.
Little
yeah, you got to go there. Higher to oh, be able oh, to point. Like there you go.
Yeah, do that. Okay, cool. That works. Okay. Yeah. So follow me at WigMeister14. You can check out obviously SmartComment.com with all the articles and stuff like that. The power rankings. I completed the latest one, the last one of the 2020 to 2021 season is now live on the website. So things will start fresh with WrestleMania. I can spoil it a little bit because if you haven't checked it out yet, I'd appreciate it if you do check it out. But Drew McIntyre was the most consistent performer in the power rankings, which I guess doesn't come as much of a surprise.
Woo!
I believe followed by who was second in that list? I know that Asuka was really high up.
I will say I'm very disappointed that Drew McIntyre didn't give me a title set of points for this show.
Yeah, oh, I did actually want to bring up something a bit with the Fantasy League, because obviously the Fantasy League season is ending with WrestleMania as well. Right now we're also doing our WrestleMania prediction contest between all four of us involved in the Fantasy League, that being myself, Tony, Rob and Wago. We're neck and neck and neck right now in terms of predictions for night one. We all have 4 correct out of 7. Which is odd because it's from completely different configurations as well. I was the only person that backed Bobby Lashley to win. You and Rob were the only people that backed Cesaro to win against Rollins. And Wayo was the only one to back Braun Strowman to win against Shane.
Huh.
So that's where that's all come from. All the other ones were pretty much unanimous. We all fought AJ and Omos. We all fought Yeah, we all thought Bianca Belair was going to win. We all thought that... Well, none of us thought that it was going to be Natalya and Tamina. So
no,
yeah,
I don't pretty, think anybody would have seen that one coming.
Yeah, yeah. So it's pretty unanimous the other board. But we have night two to figure out as well. There's still a bit of... still some odd results here and there. So it's likely we'll have a winner by the end of tomorrow. That will have repercussions in terms of the next season of the Fantasy League. It's still up in the air whether we are continuing it or not, but if we do continue it, it will have repercussions in that regard. And yeah, well, it is still kind of all to play for. I haven't tabulated the scores as of night one of WrestleMania yet, so I'm going to do that and see where it stands. But the reason why there is still things to play for is that at the end of the week, because it's WrestleMania week and it's special, the scores will be doubled. So there is still an opportunity for Tony to pit me to the top. There is still an opportunity for Wago to claw his way out of last place and put Rob where he belongs.
What was the name of Rob's team again? Robbed of points.
Yeah. That would be the biggest example of that, if that's the way that it turns out in this week. But yeah, so make sure I'll make sure to update everyone of what that happens. Other than that, if you're not like super already tired of listening to us talk about wrestling and just watching the wrestling itself, WrestleMania, there is obviously you can tide yourself over for night two by listening to either 2001 A Wrestling Odyssey or the Paul Heyman SmackDown podcast. Plenty of retro content for you to listen to. Haven't got anything I can specifically announce for what our next project will end up being, but there are plans in the pipeline and we will be bringing something to you in the next couple of months or so, I'd say. I'm hopeful at the very least.
Yeah, we'll see how that all works out, especially since, I don't know, maybe by SummerSlam. That seems to be the thing that happens with all this. By SummerSlam, yeah, maybe.
Maybe by SummerSlam, and if not by SummerSlam, WrestleMania next year.
Yeah, so follow us all over the place. Stay tuned. We're doing another one of these tomorrow night for WrestleMania Night 2. And hopefully you enjoyed all this. Hopefully you enjoyed the fact that we're doing a little bit of special stuff here. And if you want more of that, then let us know and we'll do more of it. And who knows what extra cowboy hat that Callum's going to have tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll figure out something special.
So thank you for listening to this. Thank you for those super chats for everybody who did that. Thank you for joining us for this in the live chat. If you're listening to this afterward, thank you as well for that. If you're listening on the like Spotify or things or anything like that, then hop on over to YouTube. We're actually like a, you know, video for this one. So yeah, that's going to do us in for this edition, and we'll see you in, I don't know, less than 24 hours. But for now, this has been another Smark Out moment. We're being counted out.